Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 28th chapter of the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 18th verse. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. At one of the parishes I served, a gentleman came up to me and asked, "How do you pastors come up with your sermons every week? Does the synod tell you what to preach on? Does it send you a sermon each week in the mail?" In retrospect, I wished I had asked him if he liked the sermon that week. If not, I would have apologized and told him that the synod had sent me that one. Sorry, President Wolstead. Instead, I truthfully explained that pastors are trained in Greek and Hebrew so that they can read the original text of a portion of Scripture, so that they can prepare a sermon on the basis of it, and so that they can proclaim its meaning to God's people. I then explained that there were different reading cycles called lectionaries that not only appointed texts for particular days in the church year, but also help pastors develop themes for their sermons. So in preparation for today, I decided to look at how this particular text was used in some of those lectionaries. What I discovered was that the most ancient of the Western reading cycles appointed this very text for Easter Friday. Now this is profoundly interesting, because this day was the ancient church's equivalent of the second to the last day of adult catechism classes. In short, the ancient church not only made a point of directing the Great Commission to newly minted Christians, but also wanted to serve as the capstone of their entire education. It did this for two reasons. First of all, it wanted the Great Commission to be organically practiced by both the clergy and laity alike, albeit in accord with their distinct and various vocations. Second, it is a call not only to evangelize the nations, but also to instruct them and train them in piety. Now, how did the early Christians carry out this task? Well, the early Christians simply lived out their faith in word and deed amongst their friends, their relatives, their associates and neighbors. Eventually, the joy by which they lived out their faith became so infectious that those around them, including some of those that were the most hardened to them, were eventually melted and began to inquire about this newfangled Christian faith. These early Christians then brought these same friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors to the clergy in order to answer their questions. But interestingly enough, they did not end there. Instead, the early Christians sponsored them in the faith. That is, they mentored their new godchildren by attending catechetical sermons along with them, praying with them, and modeling the faith for them. After 2 years of instruction and following baptism, confirmation, and First Communion, these newly minted Christians then, in Easter week, heard the Great Commission and were inspired to become godparents for new fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. With this lesson from the early church in mind, we must all repent of our miserable failures to live out the Great Commission, for the Great Commission is most fundamentally the Christian way of life. It's not just something that pastors and evangelism committees do on their own, but again, it's something organically that the whole body of Christ is involved in, albeit in their distinct and various vocations. It is a commitment to live out the gospel, as well as a willingness to mentor others in the faith as well. For this reason, St. Peter reminds us, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Bethany Lutheran College affords us a very special opportunity to do just that. For here we have a chance to instruct and to learn how to synthesize the Christian faith with our various vocations. Here we encounter every day fellow students, friends, who don't know Christ or the fullness of the truth about him. As students and professors here in the Mankato community, we have relationships, we have jobs, and we have apprenticeships, whereby we can let our light shine before others, as our Lord says, so they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Thus, use your time here at Bethany to form a life firmly grounded in the Great Commission. Pray the Holy Scriptures, meditate upon them, and seize every opportunity to not just witness, but also mentor each other in the faith. But perhaps you're thinking, that's all well and all, but let's face it, sometimes our witness doesn't seem all that effective. Sometimes people look at us as if we have a third eye. Sometimes they laugh us to scorn. For this reason, our Lord tells us in this text that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He does this to assure us that he has authorized the Great Commission and that he stands behind us in this task. In fact, he reminds us of the words of the holy prophet Isaiah, "So shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Perhaps this little fable might help us understand why the early Christians didn't fret the occasional put down. For you see, our witness is like the story of a man who regularly carried two buckets of water every day down to the well to gather water for his needs. One of those buckets, it just so happened, had a little hole that would leak 3/4 of its contents on the way back home. Eventually, this took a great toll on the little bucket's self-esteem, so much so that it cried out to its master about what a miserable failure he was. The man smiled and said, "You're not a miserable failure at all. Every day I carry you on the right side so that my gardens here might be regularly and daily watered. Behold, look and see how the garden flourishes and grows." We Lutherans confess a theology of the cross. That means that sometimes God's ways are not always understandable to us. They might even seem to be foolishness, but they only appear to be foolishness. For God's will is even done without our prayer. But thanks be to God that he allows us to be vehicles of his word as we live out our vocations in Christian joy and piety. Amen.